Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the official The official Roma-Sevilla Europa League final preview. Andy, we're not spending more than 10 seconds on Fiorentina-Roma, right?
You just said the name of Fiorentina, and I think that's about it. Like, that's our segment, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Right. If you want to support the show, go on Patreon/Roma Press, and you can get all the goodies. Thank you.
Again, speaking of the patrons, what a group of... This is how I know you are a Roma supporter, and this is why I do feel better about my very poor mental health situation. Even when I convince myself that a match doesn't matter, you still go inside that group and everybody is freaking out about a match that is very inconsequential, involving two teams that are going to be in European finals in the midweek, and the amount of effort should be at zero. Andy, the unfortunate thing, at least in that particular match, was... Roma did the effort in the first half, and then Fiorentina did it in the second half. I still think that Roma should have won, given all things. But yeah, the two goals in the final 5 minutes, the icing on the cake, typical metaphor for Roma. But I am not going to spend any time on that. It's not worth it.
The only time you can spend on this match is to question whether it can, the way you conceded those two late goals, can have an impact, can carry over to the final on Wednesday. You know, some people say this is not the ideal way of entering a European final, and you know, honestly, I would agree with you. You never want to see Roma lead the match for over 80 minutes and then boom, you know, within like 3 minutes concede two goals. A team that prides itself on defensive stability and organization to concede so poorly to a team like Fiorentina that are also not excellent. You know, obviously, for me, it's the matter is simple, and we've seen it with Roma. Roma, anytime they've had an important European appointment, most of the time they failed in the league, right before leading up to an important match in Europe. So this is almost feels like, yeah, you know, business as usual for Roma, dropping points in the league, right before a big European match.
Okay, well. I was trying not to think of it that way, but now I feel as if you threw a bit of water on the confidence I was feeling coming into this. Now, finals, and that everybody who watches football knows this, Andy, that a final is a very particular match. In my opinion, generally, most of the time, no matter how large or how small a gap in quality between two teams may be, when it comes down to one match, whether it is in the league, Europe, Coppa Italia, the gap, as opposed to a two-legged tie versus a final, a one-off, in my opinion, and I think we have generally seen, regardless of what you think of the gulf in quality between Roma, Sevilla, whether you think it is large, small, nothing between them, I always am of the belief that in a final, a one-off match, anything can happen, and the gap in quality, it shrinks because it comes down to particular episodes, which way they go, one way or the other. That's why finals are so exciting. No matter what you think, anything can happen. Now, whether we go back to recent history or if we look at, I don't even know if we would consider this recent history, but I have been stuck in a loop of watching Jose Mourinho's teams in Europe and reliving some of the finals, Porto, Inter, so on and so forth. And it always seems to me that the way he approaches these matches is somewhat similar. Now, obviously, if we look at, 1-0 Bayer Leverkusen, if we go, I always return to the Inter-Bayern match. That was a pretty, obviously not in individual quality, but if you look at the final data, Bayern had like 95% of the possession. It seems like he is somewhat consistent in the approach. We're going to be compact. We're going to be defensively sound. We are going to allow the other team to have the ball, force them to make mistakes, and we will try to punish them when they do so. That is how I expect Roma to play. I don't know if you disagree. Ahead of Bayer, you said this is going, or the second leg at least, you said this is going to be shithousery. You warned everybody, and that is what it was. I love it personally. But again, finals, it's a one-off, very particular. It's too easy to say. I think they're going to play similar to how they did against Feyenoord in Tirana last year. But I'm going to take the easy route and say they're going to play similar to how they played against Feyenoord in Tirana last year, because they're not going to change this recipe that has gotten them to this point, right? I mean, we expect what we all believe is probably going to happen and play out, right? We're not going to just see Roma wanting, 85% of the possession in this one, yeah? I mean...
No. The important thing is to see a Roma team that it remains compact the way we know they can remain compact. A Roma team that doesn't let the moment overwhelm them. Still, this is a European final. It's something big. It's not. Part of me wants to treat this as, wow, since we have this pedigree now, this is our second consecutive European final, the players should approach it.
Pedigree,
like,
oh my God. You're doing the purge already.
I'm not doing the purge, because I'm actually making a point where I would like to believe that. I would like the players to approach it that way, but I also want, the focus and the confidence to remain quite stable. I don't want the team to be overconfident and think, since we won last year at this stage, more or less, we can do this again and go into this game and get smashed, because that can also happen. You take too many risks, you're feeling too good about yourself, and boom, you get humiliated very easily on this stage. So it's going to be important, I think, for Roma not to get distracted. Probably wait for Sevilla to come at you first, read them a little bit. Sevilla are coming off two wonderful months where basically they were saved from relegation by this coaching change. And it seemed like, the start to this season was so disastrous for Sevilla, between two coaches that couldn't understand what the hell was happening, and Monchi didn't know what the hell was happening, and Monchi was being called to mediate between the players and the fans, and it seemed like it was a disaster, and Sevilla were bound to Segunda División, and now they are in the European final, so they turned the ship around. Perhaps these are not the same players that won the Europa League in 2014, 16, and 20, but these are players that have the awareness that they are a club that prides itself on being, you know, sort of the club that you associate the Europa League with. So they will play with confidence. We know that, and it's clear that they will come at you with everything they had. They rested a lot of players against Real Madrid. They recovered some other players that are important to them and to the way they play. They added some depth. So it's, you know, for me, I would love to sit here and say, well, I expect Roma to go into this final and absolutely know what they're going to do. But finals are finals. Like, these are, the lights are super bright. Roma have been into one European final, okay? Right. The fact that they won in Tirana doesn't mean that that it will be the same way in Budapest. It doesn't mean that the match will unfold in a similar manner to Budapest. I would like to hope that it will unfold in a similar manner, where Roma don't take too many risks and actually get one episode right. You know, they make one play count and they score on that play and that's it. Match finito, you know, and we go home triumphant. That's awesome. I would love that to happen 10 more times. If somebody asks me, you know, like, how do you want to win? That's the way I want to win. I want to win the way we won against Feyenoord in Tirana. But different opponent, different stage, different competition, different Roma, you know. Believe it or not, it's a different Roma. We have some question marks. We have the question mark whether Paulo Dybala will be able to contribute at all. We'll have the question mark of, is Roger Ibanez ready? You know, can he get out of his Serie A slump and revert back to his European brilliance? Or do you take a chance on Diego Llorente? El Shaarawy, is he good to start? Is he 100%? Belotti, Abraham, what can they offer you? You know, Bove or Wijnaldum? Who gets to start? Do you rely on Wijnaldum's experience and veteran status? Or do you reward Bove, who has been very, very good over these last couple of weeks, and you give him a chance on the big stage? These are all questions that you didn't have last year.
Well, what would you do? What would you do? Let's just do that. Let's go down to who would you pick for the team? Because really, you know, in terms of question marks, I think there's only a few mysteries. Now, I think I said last week, I thought Jose Mourinho was playing very, 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 very coy on Paulo Dybala. I think he will start. That's my feeling at this moment. Although I do have the right to change in the next couple of days into the buildup of the match.
But that would be his first start in like a month.
But doesn't that change
about that?
I would feel fantastic. I mean, okay. you got to this final without him. I would imagine that the prospect of him starting, I think that could potentially tip the balance. I mean, look at the chance. Well, Dybala has wasted chances too, but I look at how many chances Roma have wasted in recent weeks, and I can't help but think to myself, okay, well, Paulo Dybala makes the most of at least a few of those. But anyway, I mean, when it comes, because for the defense, really no mystery. I think we're going to see the usual suspects. I do think Ibanez is going to start. So we have Rui Patricio, Mancini, Smalling. I think it will be Ibanez. Now, the middle is obviously going to be where things might have to be altered. The thing with Spinazzola, I don't know. I thought for sure he was going to be fine to start. Now we're starting to see things that, probably he comes off of the bench, which obviously changes things, because then he moves Zalewski from right to left. Who do you put on the right? I think it's my man, Celik, obviously. But let's, if we want to assume that Spinazzola does start, then that does help things. Spinazzola on left, Zalewski on the right. In the middle, though, because I think Paulo Dybala will be there, so 3-4-2-1 formation. you go Cristante Matic, yeah?
You would think, yeah. I mean, it really has to come down to that. I think Mourinho will never not start Cristante and Matic in this moment. You know, right. It's just those two guys have been his guys for most of the year. I mean, Cristante, we'll get to that once the season is done, but he arguably the player of the season for Roma.
We just have to buy a shirt at this point. I mean,
yes, incredible. To all the patrons. Cristante is definitely probably one of the most improved players in this squad, and clearly a key player for Mourinho. The fact that also the likes of Gianluca Mancini, Lorenzo Pellegrini tomorrow will feature in the press conference leading up to the final. It says a lot, you know, these guys are his men, so they're always there. And I think in the end, the big question for me is Roger Ibáñez or Llorente? That really is the question, because we saw Roger Ibáñez commit some serious mistakes in recent
feast or famine, as I've said.
You get
one extreme or the other.
It's unfortunate because the good extreme is unbelievable. Like when he's on, he is on, and in the Europa League he's shown many times to be on, and when he is on, he completely controls the opponent, dominates physically, recovers unbelievable balls, and it's just when he's on. But at the same time, you have somebody like Diego Llorente who very quietly sort of like, you know, very adapted to that Sergio Rivera role where he's on loan, you know, probably nobody really thought that he could contribute much, and also faced an injury that risked of ending his season early. So he has shown to be also reliable and also brings a different kind of experience. And perhaps that's the kind of player that Mourinho wants in a European final. So I really don't know. That's the big question mark. The defense, how does it work? Also the attack, what do they have to offer to you right now? You know, who can you count on? Because a final is a match where you have to have the guys on the pitch have to be the guys that you know are going to offer you the things you want from them. The final is not a match where you get to experiment. Usually it doesn't work out. When it's a final, it doesn't work out. If you play somebody out of position, if it just doesn't work out. You rarely get those storylines of, he used to be a striker, but he played as a fullback in this match, and great, you know. So for me, those are the question marks: the defense, the attack. The attack's just in terms of, well, Belotti, Abraham, like pick your poison, almost, you know, or like who. Who's on his good day? I think that in this type of game, he'll always go to Abraham, just because he is that player. Doesn't mean that Belotti doesn't rate Belotti, because we saw Belotti also start in Europa League in important matches. So, but I think when it comes to a one-off game, Mourinho will always go to his guys, and his guys. It's Smalling, Gianluca Mancini, Cristante, Lorenzo Pellegrini, Matic, and Tammy Abraham, and Rui Patricio, obviously.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I'm sure with more time he would have reached that level. But it kind of seems that Belotti is sort of getting close to that level of endearment, I suppose is the right word, that Mourinho has for Cristante, where even when he's not scoring, I find it quite odd. You know, the only app, not only, but the most recent comparison I can find, the way we hear Thiago Pinto talks of him a lot, Jose Mourinho goes out of his way to talk about him in what he brings beyond the goals. In terms of Andrea Belotti, it reminds me, remember when Mandzukic was at Juve? I think he had one season where he scored a decent tally of goals. But then after that, everyone just talked about all of the hard work he did.
And he would consistently start under Allegri, but rarely score. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it kind of seems they view him in that similar sort of light where, obviously, a striker, we would prefer if he scored goals, but particularly when you have, you know...
And a striker who, mind you, has always scored goals in Serie A. Yes, like, the fact that he's played a lot this season, a lot more, I think, than people initially thought he would. And the fact that a guy like Belotti, who even in the worst Torino teams was always able to score and go in double digits, that really blows your head off.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you want to talk about the divisive figure. Nobody is more divisive than Belotti in the patron chat. I mean, some people, it is all about the goals and basta, and then others are willing to see some of the other things he does. I mean, for me, you have to look just for him. It is easy to say, oh my gosh, what a flop. He only has how many goals in Serie A? Europa League, only a handful, but the way he is being used and what he is willing to do for the team, the sacrifice that he is willing to put in to do whatever it takes, I think you just have to look beyond the goal scored. So it all depends on Paulo Dybala. Now, I would be curious, I would love to know what the mindset of Jose Mourinho on Paulo Dybala at this moment is, because as you just said, it has been some time since he started. Do you remember the last match he started in? Can you recall the last match?
But was it Atalanta?
Yes.
So, and that's, that's
1 month.
That's 1 month. That's in April. Yeah, yes. End of April.
So, if we just want to assume that Paulo Dybala is ready, you start him, right? Or no? Do you continue with the recipe that worked against Bayern? You continue with that, or what would you do? Because I think
you send an important message when you start him. You know?
Yes,
an important message of we're putting in the strongest start. Like this is our marquee signing. This is the guy that all of Rome basically showed up to his welcoming and gave him, you know, a welcome that few guys ever got in any club ever. And so this guy is about to bring the heat. You know, this guy is, we want to win with this guy on the pitch. We can do so without him, but we got him. Like, he is our weapon and we want him to be ready. I just don't want something to happen to him like the way Mkhitaryan had, like, went down last year.
Oh my
year gosh.
Jeez.
You know, where he's like, he is.
You're trying to will this into existence by even saying I agree with you, though. I think it's a no, because even Andy, if you take both sides, all things considered, everybody is healthy. Who is the best player between these two teams? Does anybody come close to Paulo Dybala? Because I don't think
no,
so.
Paulo Dybala, and you know, obviously, again, some people will have different opinions, but I think that more or less by technical skill and everything, just overall player that can make anything happen at any time, it's Paulo Dybala.
So you start him. If he is fine, alongside Pellegrini and Tammy Abraham, and that is what you go
exactly
with.
Exactly. Yes.
So,
yes.
So I expect, that's what I expect to see. I expect to see Paulo Dybala starting. Of course, feelings could change over the next 48 hours. Maybe he feels worse or better one day as opposed to the other. We will have to see. There's obviously still time. But what jumps out to you as far as Sevilla where there could be, I suppose, the biggest trap. Because I was going through some of the data regarding Sevilla, and as you mentioned right at the top of the episode, you do have to take some of it with a pinch of salt, only because the Sevilla of now is significantly different to this.
I'm going to do a Donnie Brasco, a pinch or a punch?
I mean, it is...
I'm sorry, that was a reference to Al Pacino cooking coq au vin and just putting a punch of salt instead of a pinch.
If you look at the results, their performances in the recent months, as opposed to the Sevilla of January, February, before the World Cup, it is a completely different team. Completely different. There's no argument against that. So when you look at some of their overall numbers, for instance, the thing that most jumped out to me is their clean sheet percentage. Overall, I believe this might have been only league play. I will have to double check. But their clean sheet percentage was 24%, as opposed to Roma, which was 38%. A significant gap, in my opinion. I think that is the team that scores and the other team that doesn't. I think that's where it is going to come down to. Yeah, obviously. This, in my opinion, this is where the season-long struggles of Roma, where we have seen them waste chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to find the back of the net. If there was ever a singular game, a singular stretch of 90 minutes where you have to dispel those goal-scoring demons that have haunted you for the entire season, it has to be this one, because we talk about looking at things with a pinch of salt. And when I look at this Roma, the goals scored versus the XG, and again, I sound so much a broken record every time I bring up the XG, but it is not alarming, but it is just shocking. You look at how many opportunities they have wasted, and you, when you have a, you know, Bayer, you advance 1-0 on aggregate, the final of last year, 1-0. These margins are very, very thin, as they always are in a final. But my goodness, just think, if you can make the most of your chances, it is a completely different Roma. I'm not even talking about making the most of all of your chances. I am talking about making the most of one or two more per match. I mean, the difference that we would be able to see.
And that's why it's important if Dybala were to start, because you are sending a message of, we're going to put the foot on the accelerator and we're going to go all the way in the beginning, hoping to grab an early lead. And then we're going to do what we can do and what we know how to do in these types of games. Like, that's the message that you send with a guy like Paulo Dybala. You go in and you're saying, we want to make things happen. We're not going to be covering our asses and hoping for a miracle. We're actually gonna go out there, make things happen, and then we're gonna play the way we know how to play that allows us to win. That's really what I want to see. That's what I refer to when I say I'm hoping that it happens again, like what happened against Feyenoord. That's the way you want this to unfold for Roma. So for me, that's the difference maker in whether you start Paulo Dybala or you get him off the bench. It's two types of different messages. You know, if you get him off the bench, it also sends a good message. I mean, you say basically you're like, okay, hold on there. And then once the opponent is tired, like against Feyenoord, you know, we saw that. Once the opponent's tired, Paulo Dybala, the difference maker, is going to come in, and that's when we're going to hit you. When you least expect it. And that's also a good strategy, but my opinion, in this type of game, you have to go in with a bang and then try and see the game through.
Okay, so what are you feeling then? Let's wrap this up here with just entering this match. I don't want to do predictions. We haven't done really predictions. We've stopped doing predictions.
Predictions and ratings. No, man, much longer. Yeah. Much longer. Remember, we used to do ratings. Robin Olsen is it a six or a six point five? And then the moment when the things started to go south, the ratings were just the worst.
Right. Bob and Rolson. Let's give him a five.
Yeah. What is the feeling? The feeling is I wish to go into a submarine and reemerge in a week's time because I want to go into a submarine. Be cut off from the rest of the world and just reemerge after not only either the heartbreak or the celebrations have ceased, just where you can put some distance between it, because this is the anticipation is awful. The thought of any negative outcome is even worse. Whereas the thought of anything similar to what we experienced last year is unbelievable. So I would love, and that's unfortunate that we can't do it nowadays unless you live in Antarctica, that to just disappear, you know, for a while, disappear, cut yourself off from the social media, from everything, not know about anything that happened, and pray that it goes well. I think honestly, you know, finals are always 50-50 in my opinion.
Yes.
But this one more so. I think this one is just even more so. Like it's the definition of a 50-50 game.
I completely agree. 100% in my opinion. It is 50-50. As I said, it is a final. The margins so incredibly thin in my opinion, no matter how much you see or view the golf in quality, it shrinks when it's a game of this magnitude. I think that there has to be something there about Jose Mourinho, the way he has succeeded in European finals. We don't need to talk about that. However, a friend in the AS Roma, in the media group with the club, somebody did joke and say, you know, if there was ever a club that would be able to scupper or ruin his perfect record in European finals, it is AS Roma. And part of me wanted to laugh in that. Another part of me wanted to cry at that. But I feel as if the one of the biggest things that Jose Mourinho has done while being here is do his best to, I guess, dispel that sort of woe is me, bridesmaid sort of attitude that not only the club has, but also the supporters. So, again, I'm not going to do a prediction, but I can say that with Jose Mourinho as your manager, you know, if you had the pick all of the litter, managers for one single match, you have 90 minutes, you need one guy to orchestrate the team for you. Are you picking a different conductor other than Jose Mourinho? Because I mean, I'm hard pressed to think of, in recent history, anybody that I would be willing to put all of my chips on, so to speak. I mean, it's this guy. You have the manager, the preeminent
man. You are going up against the team that has won all of its Europa League final appearances with the manager that has won all his final appearances. So it's once again, it's 50-50. It's just that simple. It's going to be.
We sound like such wimps and cowards to say that, but I mean,
it's a final. You're not talking about Real Madrid. You're not talking about Liverpool. You're talking about Roma and Sevilla. One is a team that has struggled to qualify for Champions League football for the past few years and continues to do so in the league. The other one
avoided relegation this year. So you can't really say, oh, this one is a clear favorite. Both teams are more or less in the same situations. Both teams go into it with a pretty similar attitude. So it's really going to come down to who wants it more and who makes the least amount of mistakes.
Oh, let's leave it there. I hope everybody did not unclench their backsides from Bayer, because this is going to be, and even as a AS Roma supporter, we all have been through moments that, again, our physicians would advise against viewing as a way to curb some of the heart arrhythmias that have been self-induced by watching this club. This is going to be very stressful. This is going to be very, very difficult to get through without feeling as if you are having a stroke. All I know is that, again, Roma, they have done incredible things under Jose Mourinho. What he has done to this club, to this team, the transformation, in my opinion, has been incredible. And as I said, I would not, and I assume this is probably the case for many, if not most of you, if you had your choice of manager to orchestrate the team coming into this game, you wouldn't choose anybody else. And he is our manager. He's the manager leading the team that you support, the guy that is perfect in European finals. He is the one leading you into a European final. I like my odds with that. And again, I'm sure many, if not most of you, feel that way too. So we will leave it there. We will be back after.
God help us.
After the final, yes.
God help us. Okay.
Relax up until kickoff, please. And whatever you have to do, wine, jacuzzi, whatever your go-to substances that I'm, you know, far be it from me to name them, whatever you choose, whatever you use as a way to cope, do that in the build-up, and then we will all, one way or the other, we will be back after the match. But still, the one thing I guess I just want to repeat is, you know, it's matches like this, Andy, why we do this, why we are willing to sit through 90 minutes of an away match to Sassuolo in November when it's raining, where Roma, they lose 1-0 or something. We put up and deal with so many of these crap moments. Games like this are so, so rare. I mean, nobody has to tell us how rare they are. I know whatever happens one way or the other, the emotions following the game are going to be heightened to the extreme one way or the other. But as much as we can take the time to kind of take it all in and enjoy it, I guess that is the only thing I want to leave everybody with. Try to sound like some wise sage or something like that. But as much of it seems everything is riding on this game in the midweek, we are not here very often. We are not here in this position very often. And I think perspective sometimes is a good thing to have, particularly in the buildup and after. Whatever happens, just know we will be here. We will be back. We want to thank all of you throughout the season for listening to us. We're not going anywhere, so I don't know why I'm talking like this, as if we're going on some break or something is happening.
Also, the season is not over. You still have to play against Betis.
Yeah, well, yes, Betis. Yeah. Get your tickets now. For that one.
I think we said it last year with the Conference League final. It's enjoy the moment. This is Roma. This stuff doesn't happen just like that. Like it happens for the likes of Real Madrid. Make it last in your mind and your memory, one way or another, because it doesn't happen very often. That's it.
Perfect way to end it. Okay, everyone. Fingers crossed. We will chat later in the week after the game. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.